Sharks fans, don't miss your chance to be at the Can't Miss Games of the Year and see the newest members of the Sharks. On July 2nd, we will announce the 2024-25 season schedule, and individual game tickets will go on sale that same day. Visit sjsharks.com/tickets to sign up for a ticket on sale alert. That's sjsharks.com/tickets.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Build Up with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, what's happening, everybody? And welcome as we get you ready for the Sharks to take on the Predators in Nashville, the final of five games on the road, their final long road trip of the season. Now they'll be home for three after tonight, Thursday night taking on Tampa, Saturday night against Chicago, and Tuesday night against Dallas before they go back out onto the road to finish up the month of March. All right, we're going to get right into it. We are now joined by Sheng Peng of San Jose Hockey Now and NBC Sports California, who's been out on the road for the entirety of this road trip. Sheng, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Very good. Walking the Broadway in Nashville, as you guys can probably hear in the background, getting some lunch. It's been a long road trip, so I'm happy for this road trip to end, as I'm sure the Sharks are too.
Yes, obviously the wins have not been there. There's been some disappointing results, obviously. I think they felt they probably deserved more in Philadelphia, to be specific, and then the way that the game against Pittsburgh got away from them, and they had their chances against Columbus and then five unanswered against Chicago. I guess that brings us to today's game. What do you think the team mentality is going into this game? Where do you think they are mentally? Your thoughts on everything you've seen heading into this final game.
I think the guys who are playing, there's still a kind of a hunger, a happiness with playing and getting a chance to prove themselves. So I think the energy is still pretty decent. Obviously, the results are frustrating, but for example, a guy like Thomas Bortolo, spoke with him today, just got called up. When he was with the Sharks, it was the game against Nashville, which is a big deal to him because that's a chance for him to play against his dad's team. His dad, Sebastian, is a development coach for the Predators. And so he was talking to me today about just sort of his disappointment of being scratched for the game earlier in the season in Nashville. It was the fifth game of the season. He had played the first four games of the year. And so tonight, Peter, because of that bittersweet moment. So for a guy like that in the lineup, I think it's just happy to be playing. So,
what did you think of Devin Cooley and his appearance?
Oh, I thought he was very good. The goals that went against him, I can't really say anything particular. I would point out with him, of course, I'm not really a goalie guy, but I thought overall he gave him a chance to win. They were up to the one in the third period, and then Sharks are going to shark, I guess. But I think overall Devin acquitted himself very well. I wonder what they're going to do. Because it sounds like the Blackwood is close to returning. He was close to returning tonight. And so maybe as soon as this Thursday. So I wonder what they'll do in terms of carrying three goalies. I suspect that they actually will send Krona down and keep Cooley up, because sending Krona down allows Magnus to get games in, which is what you want for your 23-year-old prospect. Whereas Cooley, being a little bit older, is just kind of happy to be here. And so it'll be great if you can get a game in San Jose.
Yeah, especially with the Bay Area background for him and growing up, being his family being season ticket holders. I thought that was pretty cool. Another one that I think we're kind of looking at, obviously, on the other side of the deadline is Klim Kostin, who is suddenly, producing points. And you go back a couple of years and, he was on that Edmonton team that had offense and points for everyone. And, obviously this past year was not the same situation for him, but he's producing again. What's your take on him after seeing him up close for a few games now?
He's definitely a guy with NHL caliber skill. I mean, look at just number of games he's played and minutes, and you think, oh, maybe this guy is not a guy that should be on your power play, which he is on for the Sharks right now. And he's on a power play. And he doesn't look like he belongs. And so I think that this is sort of a, I think he recognizes that this is, you know, he's not going to have a lot more chances at the NHL here. He was a high pick by St. Louis in 2017. He was in the Oilers organization. He's in the Red Wings organization. So eventually, you know, you don't get those kicks in a can anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I think he's realizing that. He's taking a big, you know, full advantage of opportunity. So I think it's a very promising what we're seeing out of him. Sorry, I got to run across the street here.
As long as you don't get hit, Chang, that's the most important thing. And you can start talking again whenever you want after I finish the question. I don't know how long the jog is, but you know, in terms of
I'm ready to go.
Okay, good. Chang wasn't hit. That's the most important thing. Let me ask you just about, you know, we're a month from today, the season will be over. One of the more interesting things that I heard from Mike Greer when he spoke to the media after the deadline was what the season was worse than what he expected. How much of that do we chalk up to the injury situation, and how much of it do we chalk up to guys not performing up to their capabilities, or how did you read that quote, I guess, and what was your reaction?
Well, I think he thought the team would simply be better, even with or without the injuries. Obviously, the injuries are a big part of it. Losing Logan for an entire season was not expected. Trading Tomas Hertl, that I don't think was in the cards either. And so anyway, so those are a couple. Yeah, so you can talk about injuries there, but there's also other parts too. Guys who have not performed, mm-hmm. guys like obviously a LeBanc, a Barabanov, guys they expected more out of. So yeah, I think it's probably a balance or a mix of both things there. And then you also look at too, guys that sort of just guys that have gotten an opportunity, like guys like younger guys like Addison, maybe hope for more from those guys. But also too, things like on the power play, they didn't really they started the season without a true power play quarterback, and yeah. So that falls, I think, a little bit on Mike. And so I think it's a mix of all those factors.
Why? Okay, then the next part of that question is, Mike Greer thought the team would be better, but entering the year, a lot of pundits thought the Sharks were going to be in the running for one of the worst teams of the cap era. Why was there that disconnect between what pundits maybe thought of the team and what Greer maybe thought the team was capable of?
Well, I think we had to take I think that the team maybe thought the team would be a little better, but I don't think that he thinks that he built a Stanley Cup contender here. I think he knows. And I think even like when I talk about like going in season without a power play quarterback, Mike knew. I mean, Mike watches the same game that we do better than we do.
Yeah.
That he was putting a lot of guys in the positions that like weren't necessarily their comfort level, right? And so I think he did know, but for it to be maybe this bad, I don't know. You know, maybe he expected more out of veterans like Mike Hoffman too, or even like Anthony Duclair when he was here. Obviously, Duke got really hot there at the end there, but he started off the season pretty slow. So it just was the losing just sort of snowballed on this team, and yeah. Sort of just kind of keep snowballing every couple of weeks or so.
Yeah, I mean.
So, but anyway, I think you can't put some of it on Mike for sure. Some players I think have underperformed for what you had hoped. And that's on, you know, that part is on Mike and pro scouting and all that kind of stuff. Some of the stuff obviously is injuries too. And you can't ignore that, especially when it's your kind of the strength of the team, the centerman and all those guys have missed some time. And obviously Tomas Hertl and Logan Couture are away from the Sharks. obviously Tomas for good, but away from the Sharks for extended periods of time. But even Granlund and Sturm have missed a yeah. good amount of time, so they've never had a chance to have all four centermen in a lineup. And so would this have made this a playoff team? I don't think Mike thinks that. I don't think anybody thinks that. But maybe they wouldn't be at 39 points though with 14 games left.
I mean, is there anything you can pinpoint in the game of Barabanov in particular that he had been able to do previously that he hadn't been able to do this year? I know some people wondered if he came back from injury too soon as one factor, but I don't know. Like, there's just been times where, to me, he hasn't looked as engaged, as he did previously, but maybe I'm also not taking into account the weight of losing. And we've heard David Quinn talk about that. He says, you know, losing wears on you. It drains you. I'm not sure that that's an excuse for Barabanov, but I wonder how much that comes into play.
Well, I do think that guys, when they're not producing, they start to press a little bit and they start to chase offense. So I think that's what we see with Alex and with a lot of the players that aren't producing what you would expect out of them. We saw that out of, say a Duclair, right? And even Duclair found himself scratched a couple of times there. So I think that's a big part of it. Obviously, not getting to play with Tomas Hertl or Logan Couture on a consistent basis, that's gonna hurt anybody too. But I would say if I were to point to one thing, because we still see flashes from Alex, and it wouldn't surprise me, just like with Kevin LeBanc, that on a different team, less responsibility, that they'll be way more productive next year. But I think that the main part of it though is that when you're counting on to produce offense, you're a free agent too, so your next contract is dependent on you building offense. And you have a string of games where you're not producing. Doesn't matter what line you're playing on, but you're just not producing. Maybe you start to chase. Maybe you start to chase offense and kind of compound the problem, right? Yeah. So we talk about how losing snowballs. Well, I think also too slumping, right, and struggling, that can snowball too. And so I think that's happening with both of them.
Do you think that a player like Filip Zadina has proven enough through this year that he's worth taking another risk on next year? I mean, obviously he's a low AAV guy. I think it was 1.1 this year. Do you think that his game has shown enough improvement that they might want to give him another look for next year?
I think he's in a maybe category. I don't think that he has done enough that he is a sort of a slam dunk.
What have you thought of his game?
It's the same. It's not so different from the Barabanovs and the LeBancs, except more productive recently, obviously. But you know, he's a guy that when he is, I think when he's not chasing offense, he is he's better actually. Mm-hmm. But then when he starts kind of chasing points and offense a little bit, that kind of creeps into, makes the rest of his game suffer defensively and all that. So also too, him being younger, I think he can be a victim of that too. And also the high draft pick, all that stuff, that just adds a little more pressure to him. And so, yeah, but I do think though that obviously being a bit younger than the other guys that we mentioned, that he does fit kind of what the Sharks are trying to do, like the cost, and, you know, give these guys a chance, and then maybe one or two of these guys that you give a chance, you know, Addison, Stanika, that group of guys, and maybe one of those guys sort of becomes kind of a building block, a guy that you can play when the team is good again.
Now that the dust has settled from the trade deadline, particularly the Tomas Hertl trade in particular, what are your thoughts now at this point, and how do you think this sets up for what happens next for Mike Greer heading into this summer? Obviously, they have a lot more cap space. They can take on bad contracts to get more draft capital and more prospects. But obviously they also have the opportunity to maybe expedite the rebuild with having more cap space overall. Where are you now at this point?
I still think it's a very good trade that the Sharks had to make. Obviously, if you just look at the players involved, but Tomas Hertl is probably going to be a better player than David Edstrom, is probably going to be a better player than whoever the Sharks picked with a 2025 pick, likely. Hertl also, as we've talked a lot about, is he's older. He has a long contract. I don't think that, and some people have suggested, oh, you wait till the summer, you'll get a better deal for Hertl. I don't believe that is a given. Mm-hmm. And Mike Brewer certainly didn't think so, too, because he said point blank that he didn't think that there was a better offer out there of essentially two first-round picks there, and that's from a 2025 pick for a Hertl, even if you had to retain some money and send back some third-round picks out of the way. But I don't think that was there in the summer. And so I still think that it was a good trade. In terms of what Mike does with it, I wonder. I think that maybe it doesn't really make sense for the team to throw an 8-year contract at somebody, obviously, because they just traded a guy with that kind of contract. But but I can see them maybe targeting some younger players, right? And younger players that they think might might fit long term with the team. A guy, just for example, they did the same a couple summers ago, trading for a Luke Cunningham. I know Cunningham hasn't been as successful as I think that they've hoped. You know, I think that you want a little more production out of somebody making his money, even though he's done well in intangibles and that sort of thing. He's an alternate captain for the Sharks now.
Yeah.
But somebody of that age range, though, you know, when they traded for Luke, I think he was 25. So maybe somebody like that, that they think can kind of grow with the team. So maybe they'll target somebody like that with extra space.
What is your concern for Logan Couture and his viability going forward? I don't think any of us saw this season coming up. It was obviously something that happened before training camp because he never even started training camp. But, you know, he got back out there and the issue came back.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely a huge concern. There's really no sense of worries that. I think I did ask David Quinn sometime on his trip if Logan had started skating, and he said that as far as he knew, he had not. Though obviously Quinn is on the road, he's not too worried about a guy skating that is not going to play for him again this season, I think. So it doesn't seem like Logan is skating, and so we just have to wait and see. You know, his injury does sound like the kind of that he can get better from. It just might take some time. And so I think sort of the waiting is the hardest part, I think, for both him and for Sharks fans.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I think that especially for Logan Couture, he is, you know, he's the captain of the team. He is about as competitive as it gets. Being on the sidelines has got to be driving him crazy. You know, do you think that, I mean, what happens next year though, if at the start of camp, he still can't go?
Then you target the number one pick of the 2025 draft. And that's not necessarily the worst thing. So. And you still have a Mikael Granlund around. So he's, I think, filled in and provided a lot of the two-way play, the skill too, that you're missing with Hurdle and Couture gone. Worth noting that Granlund leads the Sharks in, or leads all forwards since I think mid-November in total ice time and special teams ice time, both power play and penalty kill. And so that tells you sort of his importance to the team. And so good thing he's still around, or otherwise I don't know who would be your first line center in that case.
In this last month of the season, what do you want to see from the Sharks on the ice?
Oh, it's the same thing that I've been looking for the last 5 years. You just keep looking for players that might survive, that might be better than just like I'm putting up some points because it's end of season hockey and whatever. So basically guys that might stick, guys that might be a part of your next very good Sharks team. And obviously too, you look for growth from the younger players too, guys like Eklund and Bordalo. And so yeah, those that's pretty much all you can hope for here.
All right, Chang, well I will let you go, man. I appreciate your time as always. And I will see you. Are you going to be well rested enough to be back on Thursday night? Or are you going to take the night from home?
Oh yeah, no nights off. So
right on, man. Well, I appreciate your time as always. And I will see you on Thursday night. All right.
Yep.
Again, that was Chang Peng of San Jose Hockey Now and NBC Sports California joining us here on the Sharks Audio Network. Magnus Crona is expected to get the start for San Jose tonight. Also, some other reporting we saw from Shane coming out of today's morning skate was that it looked like Ruda was back in, but it also looked like Hoffman was out, Barabanov was out, and LeBanc was out. So obviously, we are seeing some shakeup from David Quinn in this lineup, trying to figure out what he can do to get this Sharks team to win. Obviously, you are looking at Saturday's game against Chicago, not so much against Tampa and Dallas on the next three-game homestand, as a great opportunity to win. And obviously going out onto the road against Minnesota or St. Louis, that's going to be a difficult situation as well. And then you get into the month of April and there's just not that much left that's going to be easy for San Jose. Nothing, of course, has been easy this year, but you know, there's about a month of hockey left and I continue to want to see these guys fight. I continue to want to see them play and give it their all out there on the ice. I look at, you know, what happened against Chicago the other day. They ran out of gas, but I still felt like they had some effort-filled moments out there on the ice. I know that you give up five unanswered and it looks very lopsided, but you know, that doesn't always tell the whole tale of what the game was. And unfortunately for the Sharks, the scores have not always told the tale. The hard work has gone unrewarded, and they are closing in on the end of what has been a difficult season. Pre-game 4:30, go time 5 o'clock with Drew Remenda and Dan Rusinowski as the Sharks take on the Preds. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found for download under Sharks Hockey Digest on iTunes, Google, and Spotify. And on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app, presented by Western Digital. All music by Yogi Yen.